Good morning, people. In today's episode, we're going to be talking about a childhood of not being diagnosed with dyslexia and how it affects you as an adult, some of the stuff that happens and how it comes through into adult life. So let's dig into it. Okay, so I'm out of my funk that I was in the other day, and I wanted to do a bonus episode of Ask Stephen for everybody. Now, in our group, we had this question, which was a real good one, around how does the stuff that happened when you were young affect your future, especially if you were not diagnosed with dyslexia at a younger age? Now, this is a question that I really liked, to be honest, because what I'm seeing a huge amount is late diagnosis. And this is happening a lot because it's only, you know, I'd be realistic and say it's only in the last 20 years regular diagnosis seems to have happened, you know, better and better across the world. You know, I've already mentioned this before, New Zealand didn't even recognize dyslexia properly until 2007, which is pretty crazy when you think about it from a governmental level. So there are a lot of people not being diagnosed, and majority of those people are now being, the parents especially, or the adults, are being diagnosed when they have a child diagnosed. And the doctor says, did you know this is quite likely hereditary? And then they go, oh, okay, that's interesting. So there's a lot of people coming into the group that are adults that have only just been diagnosed. And so how does it affect you? You know, if you didn't know you were dyslexic, for many years, you would have created stories about why you are the way you are. Humans try and fill in the gaps in any part of their life. You imagine you start to believe something for whatever reason, someone you trust says something. You naturally want to believe that if you trust that person. It's why, you know, and this is what we see a lot of, is if you're told you're stupid, if you're told you just keep making these mistakes, these things stick with you for life. And, you know, it takes a lot of conscious awareness to move that. And it's not easy. It's not an overnight process. It's not a quick win. Press a button. Here's the magic. You're now cured. This doesn't happen. And if I'm honest, you know, dyslexia in itself is less troublesome than the stories we tell ourselves because of dyslexia at a younger age. That's the stuff that really affects our future. In the grand scheme of dyslexia now, there is better technology than there's ever been to help us. I'm going to be releasing a review early next week on an amazing product to help dyslexics with touch typing. It's a really, really good product. That I recommend, and I think you know, I've managed to, you know, use solutions to get around a lot of dyslexic problems. Now the challenge though is even though I was diagnosed at 10, you know, even before then, you know, that's still 9 years. Now I wasn't reading and writing at 1 year old, although my first words were kangaroo and computer. So they actually thought I was a genius at a young age. But I always laugh about that. They're such odd words. But they are physical words, which is interesting. So with that, I guess my mum always tells me this story, and she repeats it a lot, is that when I was diagnosed at 10, very luckily that a teacher saw it in me, I said to my mum, oh, well, that means I'm not stupid. You know, at least I understand now. So I, you know, for me, that was massive, you know, and a lot of people weren't that lucky to know that there was a reason the way they were, the way they were. And if you know, the same thing for me more is ADHD. I only got diagnosed a year ago, not even a year ago, probably 6 months ago. I'm not, you know, as we all know, time's elastic in our brains. It was only very recent. So I've had a lot of ADHD challenges that I've never recognized being the way I am. And you know, that was for me the big shock. I remember when I kind of realized, my shock was not actually the diagnosis with a doctor. It was when I watched this video I've shared before about how ADHD affects you. It's a fantastic video. on understood.org by a doctor, and he says it so well. You kind of watch it and you go, sheesh, that is, I see that coming through in my life massively. And I remember sitting in my office on my beanbag, because I have a beanbag office, which is the way of the future, I believe. And I was just, I couldn't move. I just couldn't move. I was just sitting there going, okay. And it's like our brains are so powerful. What happens is when you have that massive shift, what starts to happen is you go back through your life. It's like everything readjusts and it moves in your head, and it goes, that's why I did that. That's why I'm like that. And you start to create a different storyline of your past. And you kind of start to feel like, I think you go through a bunch of different emotions, especially if you're late diagnosed, about realizing the way you are. Like, I've seen it in the group. People have realized and they've started to understand, especially around dyslexia, about how it's so much more than just reading and writing. They start to realize why they've been the way they are, why they've had the emotional ups and downs, why a lot of the time we don't sit in the middle of the spectrum. We're either feeling like crap or we're feeling like legends. And the way our minds work is just remarkable. And it's interesting, the correlation between a lot of us is, you know, we're either narcissists or we're the opposite of narcissists, which is just completely, we just don't care about things. We just, like, not materialistic. If something happens, we just let it pass to a point where it feels like we're unemotional about something. And everything in between, that's just one duality that affects us. And when you don't understand that, and then what I'm trying to get to is, when you don't understand that as a child about why your brain is working this way, and with all the information out there being so poor in many places, that can have a massive impact. Someone once told me very smartly is that if you have a really clear emotional memory, if you have a really clear picture in your head of something that happened in your childhood, you may have 5 of these, you may have 10 of these, you may have 20 of these, everyone's a bit different, but around the first 15 to 20 years of your life, you may have some real clear images in your brain that are associated with a memory. Now, what these things are usually traumatic events. And traumatic doesn't have to be bad. It can be a really good thing as well. I know you might think he's lost his mind, but what these are is, I guess what I'm trying to say is, they're really cutting events that have shaped you. And what's probably happened if you have dyslexia is, some of them, the story you tell about that event may not be accurate. And I'll give you an example. When I was probably, before I was pre-diagnosed with dyslexia, and I was a kid in class, and I can't remember if I've told this story before, but I was sitting in class, in a maths class, and the teacher, I just remember him so clearly. He was bald, he was balding, he had brown hair around the edges of his head. He wasn't gifted with great genetics in that respect. Big goggly glasses, and he was doing quite a complex maths problem. And I was quite, I'm not bad, I'm actually really good at quick maths. I don't have dyscalculia so I'm good at maths, especially at that type. And I remember sitting in class and he asked, does anyone know the answer to this problem? Now, no one knew it in the class, but I'd worked it out in my head. But I didn't have the self-confidence to say I knew the answer. I was worried, was I wrong? You know, which would have come from years of my childhood being told I was wrong, or something was a mistake, or it wasn't right. And so he puts the answer up, and I say out loud, I knew that. I was really proud. I was really proud of myself, because I knew in my head I knew that, and I was right. But the teacher goes, no, you didn't. And then some of the other kids laughed. And I was like, wow, that moment is burnt into my memory. It's like, it's literally like it's branded into my mind. And that memory is so clear, that trauma was so clear, that it affected a massive amount of my future about, if I think I could potentially be wrong, I should just shut up and not talk about it. And that's played a huge part in a lot of my life, about worrying if I'm going to make a mistake or say the wrong thing. So what I'm trying to say is that the stuff from your past will create a lot of stories that you tell yourself. Even if you don't think they're there, they are there. And what have I learned about that? I think, especially if you're older and dyslexic, if you've been diagnosed late, it's about slowing down sometimes and reassessing some of those pictures in your mind. I'm not a huge fan of going back over previous pictures. I'm really not a fan of it. I think it's better to create forward pictures and new emotions that overwrite those old ones. But I also don't think it's completely terrible to take time. Like, I know I've taken time with that that image, because you remember, we're very visual. You can 3D out one of these images in your mind and get clear on it. If you put some music on that's kind of helping you stay in the zone, like I close my eyes. I know with that picture, what I did is I sat there and I watched the classroom of what I could remember. And it's probably not completely accurate, but it doesn't really matter when it's in your mind. You just got to accept that it's probably not accurate. What you're trying to get to is the actual story behind it. And the story I was telling myself is, oh, maybe I was wrong. Maybe I actually didn't know the answer. And instead, what I did is I looked at the photo and I looked at the other kids who laughed. And I just imagined them being fat and bald and having terrible lives. And it's probably not a great way of doing it, but that's what I did. And the same with the teacher. I kind of watched him and I said, you know, that was just an offside remark. He didn't even remember it after that. It was a bad choice by him. It was, it was just the kind of sarcastic, I've given up on life teacher that exists in this world. He was stuck in a country, because this was in the Middle East. He was stuck in a country he probably didn't like. Maybe his wife had just broken up with him. Who knows what had happened to him? I don't know the stories that were going on in his life at that time. And for him to snap, like I snap, I do that occasionally. I'll say something stupid that I didn't mean. And, you know, I start to replay the story and change the story. It's kind of like changing the voiceover on a movie. Instead of the narrator saying, did Stephen actually know the answer? Was he ever even aware of it? The kids laughed furiously. You know, that's the story that's going on in the old version. In the new version is Bob, the teacher, had just broken up with Mary because he was balding and had bad genes. No, that's terrible, but you know what I mean. Like, it's changing that story can have a massive effect. And if you can build the emotion behind it, it really does actually change your own perception. You know, it gave me some more ability to do stuff like this. Like, I'm really open on this podcast. I wouldn't be as open if I wasn't quite there with this stuff. So I guess what I'm saying is, yes, the stuff from your childhood will affect your future. Less so the dyslexia stuff, because to be honest, we can start to build solutions into our lives to solve it. But what actually holds us back more than anything is these stories that are in our minds that were created because of unknown dyslexia and other right brain challenges. So hopefully that's made some sense. Hopefully that story's been a little bit interesting. And thank you for the question on #AskStephen.